In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos Anesti. Al-Masiakom. We glorify his third day resurrection this day and for the entirety of this period of celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And at the same time, we are preparing ourselves for his ascension and his giving of the Holy Spirit upon us. And we must understand that the celebrations that we have in the church between this period of the resurrection of Christ and of the descent of the Holy Spirit is very much about us observing and understanding the true knowledge of faith and life that God has given to us by the light of the resurrection, so that by that true knowledge we are prepared to receive the Holy Spirit who is eternal life. I say to us many times that in the liturgy, the priest prays at a certain point that we would receive from God in this life true knowledge and in that which is to come eternal life. And that is precisely what we are about between the resurrection of Christ and the descent of the Holy Spirit. True knowledge that is given to us about life, the way, the truth in life, and the Spirit who is descended, who descends upon us, who is given to us in order for that life and that knowledge to become eternal, permanent in us. If we have a little bit of a doubt, a little bit of an uncertainty about whether what we really mean when we speak about our life being eternal, understand it first and foremost as being something that is certain, something that is permanent. We are speaking about living life as permanence. And therefore, it is eternal for us. Today, we celebrate the myrrh-bearing women, and with them, the pious Joseph of Arimathea and the righteous Nicodemus. And they have much to teach us about how to pursue that true knowledge and receive permanence in our eternal life and to avoid the distractions of the world. And so the topic I want to speak about this morning is how we as Orthodox Christians understand what it means to both find ourself and lose ourself, and how the myrrh-bearing women, Joseph and Nicodemus, assist us in understanding that. We know in the scriptures that we are told that the one who desires to find themselves will lose themselves, and the one who loses themselves will find themselves. And the language that we use is not too far adjacent from the language that we hear oftentimes in our culture, that it is our purpose as we are growing up in our childhood and as we enter into adulthood and in some sense enter into the discipline and the control and the mastery of our own life, that what we are called to do, according to the world, is to find ourselves, find our true passion, find our true purpose. And the language is so similar that it can be deceptive. And I would say to us that this is why Christ gives this perplexing phrase, he who will find himself. In other words, the one who goes out with the intent, the purpose of finding themselves will lose themselves. And the one who goes out to lose themselves will find themselves. We as Orthodox Christians are called to lose ourselves. That is the point of so much of what we do. The priest stays the man that he is, but at the same time loses himself in the cassock and the vestments. The monastic does the same thing. They find a membership, they find a belonging, they find a personhood, a reality, a life, a self that is beyond what they were by nature and by nurture. And we, when we are brought into the church, experience the same thing. What we were before, what our nature and what our nurture was before is transformed by our membership, our belonging to the body of Christ. And it is precisely here that there is a marked difference between the way we as Orthodox understand finding and losing yourself and the way that the world does. The world is a swindler, because the world will take our language and distort its meaning and deceive us and lead us into despondency. And when we are when we find ourselves in despondency, we find ourselves unable to act. We find that the world leads us to despondency, and it leads us to a listlessness and a powerlessness. Because then when we wake up and realize that we've been pursuing something that is empty, we feel like we have wasted our life. And so what is the difference between what the world teaches us and what the church teaches us? When the world says to us, find yourself, it says to us, figure out what your passions are. Figure out what your vocation in the world is. Figure out what the job is that you want to do, the task that you want to accomplish. Figure out whether or not the hobby that you have is the thing where you can put yourself into it and it can be the thing that you express yourself through. But the thing that the world does not clarify for us is that everything that it tells us to seek ourselves in is temporal. Everything that we put ourselves into by the world's way of thinking is something that is temporal. And let's just stop for a moment and just, if we all probably can think about either our job, we can think about our marriage, we can think about how our family is, we can think about how our relationships with friends are, a hobby that we have, an aspirational project that we may have. If we think about any or all of those things, we might see that there are times where we think to ourselves, I'm so frustrated because I haven't accomplished this. I'm frustrated because I'm getting distracted by this thing or that thing. I'm frustrated because time's moving faster than I can keep up with. I keep being unable to accomplish this thing. I sit and I work on this, and maybe you're burning the candle at both ends and you still don't see the progress that you want. And the reason is because your goal is in the temporal nature of these things, in the temporal reality. It's not in something that is eternal. And you yourself are trying to find yourself in things that are constantly changing, constantly being rushed down the river of time, and the time is going too fast for you, and constantly being in things that change. Every day we wake up and the world is different. And so if we put our treasure in the world, we never know where our treasure is. Every day we have to go out and spend an enormous amount of energy finding our treasure again. Because the world is telling us to find ourselves in things that are temporal. And that is a very important distinction to make between the church and the world. Because the church teaches us, like Joseph, like Nicodemus, like the myrrh-bearing women, to seek the kingdom. Joseph is a great example, first of all, of one who started out pursuing the desires of the world. And because he did pursue the desires of the world, he was fearful. And so he was one who sought the kingdom in secret. And Nicodemus also came to Jesus by night in order to learn from him true knowledge. The fear that they experienced is a despondency that they had, an uncertainty about and a lack of true knowledge and discernment about where life is to be found. And so they had a foot in both worlds. And if you have a foot in both worlds, what do you find yourself doing? You find yourself being spread too thin. You find yourself in confusion. You find yourself doing splits that you might not be capable of doing. And so we find ourselves in that kind of confusion all the time because we keep one foot in both worlds. We keep one foot in the world of our impermanent nature and one foot in the world of the permanent nature that has been given to us when we were made members of Christ. So we as Orthodox Christians, we have to follow what Joseph and Nicodemus eventually learned and what the myrrh-bearing women knew from the beginning, that you seek the kingdom of God. You seek that which is permanent. And so even when you are addressing impermanent things, relationships and projects and vocations and jobs, you see through the temporal nature of things to the eternal nature of the kingdom of God. It is a vision that is actionable and absolutely necessary. It's not abstract. It's not an ideology. It is being able to see the forest for the trees so that you don't get lost in the despondency that the world throws at you and tempts you with because it squanders all of your aspiration, all of your energy, all of your desire to find yourself. And when I said at the beginning, quoting Christ, he who loses himself will find himself, we are speaking here about not being limited, not remaining in the nature and the nurture of who we are before we are membered to Christ. Who we are in our nature and in the way that we have been nurtured in our life, in whatever context, it is all passable. And we move from that to a nature that is in Christ, that is permanent. And that brings with it a permanent vision. And so it is that vision that we have to pursue. We might still, to the eyes of the world, look like we're pursuing the same things, because we might still be at the same job. Lord willing, we'll be in the same marriage and in the same family. And we may find that we suddenly have a new energy for a particular project or a particular hobby or goal or a particular way of serving. But the difference between the two is that we have stopped putting our faith in the temporal things and in our temporal nature, and we put it in Christ. We've identified ourselves with His nature, and we pursue something that is eternal by seeing in everything that is temporal the kingdom of God, which is eternal. And that is why the myrrh-bearing women were able to come to the tomb without knowing how they were going to remove the stone, and yet having faith and confidence that it would be removed. And their faith was met by the action of God. They stepped out of themselves. They did not try to figure out in human terms how they were going to remove the stone. They simply stepped out. They had feeling and they had true knowledge, and they brought those two things together and acted upon them for the kingdom of God, not for a temporal purpose. So when we in our lives, when we see the problems, the struggles, the temptations, the difficulties that have to be addressed in any sphere of our life, so long as we look at it from a human perspective, we will have our energy and our desire and our efforts squandered by the world, because it will direct all of that to just trying to fix little temporal problems. We will be putting out fires for the entirety of our life. But when our vision gets turned to what is eternal, to the kingdom of God, then we find that our faith is met by the action of God. And those fires get resolved in ways that we could never have comprehended. The myrrh-bearing women experienced that. Joseph and Nicodemus experienced that, because that is what pulled them out of their fear that they had before. So oftentimes I have conversations within the community about how, because we are a community of converts, of how we have all come to the church. And when we think about how we have come to the church, we cannot possibly imagine there have been a time before all of that began where that would have happened the way that it did. We look back at it and we think, there's no way that this number of years ago I would have ever been Orthodox. I would have ever understood what the true church is and the apostolic faith, and I would have been membered to it. That is my experience, and it's the experience of most people here. We don't know the things that God is doing on the level of what is eternal and what is the kingdom of God. But what we do know is that the only way we are able to meet it is by losing ourselves in faith and seeking the kingdom. Not trying to seek ourselves in the things of the world, because all we do there, as Christ tells us, is lose ourselves in anxiety and fear and despondency and inability and inaction and the loss of power. We lose our life. But I hope you understand, when we pursue the kingdom, then we have a confidence that carries us through temporal things into what is eternal. And we find that temporal problems are solved only by what is eternal. Never by our temporal, never by our limited and short-sighted solutions. If we look at the history of humanity, most of our solutions just create new problems. But when we look at the resurrection of Christ, we see that the result is life and life abundant, true knowledge, becoming temples of the Holy Spirit. We ourselves are enfleshments of God's life. That is an eternal solution to the multiplicity of our temporal problems. That is why we praise our God and why we seek the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. Do not allow the powers and aspirations, the purpose of your life, be swindled from you by the world, by being taught by the world to seek temporal things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Forgive me.